You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
In South Africa, so many places. It's been, it's kind of a way of connecting with the land that you're on. And it's a kind of ritual track that I created many years ago. Anyway, this is called Prophecy. Thank you very much.
We're sitting backstage here at WOMAD with the one and only Nissan Sawney. How you doing?
Very good, thanks. Yeah.
I could list, I mean, it's a big list, composer, producer, arranger, DJ. I mean, it goes on and on. It's really crazy.
Great, but I've had a long life. I'm not young.
I love that. We just got done watching you perform, and the spirituality that you put into your music is incredible. Is that?
Oh, thank you.
Is that something that you consciously feel when you're making it too? You're imbuing spirit into it?
I feel, well, I mean, the music that I make is a reflection of what I feel and who I am and what I feel about everything. So if it feels spiritual, then that's cool. I'm happy with that.
I did want to actually ask you about that too, because your music fuses, you fuse so many different genres and styles too, but you manage to do it in a way that pays respect to all of them.
That's nice of you to say that hopefully is the case. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, is that an intention when you're making it too?
Very much. I think it's important for me. I mean, I spent a lot of time learning lots of different styles and ways of thinking about music, and spending time with practitioners in lots of different genres or from different cultures and so on. So hopefully that's kind of in some way rubbed off in the way that I kind of approach music. So yeah. Mm.
You're very well travelled, and we were talking before, you've been to Aotearoa, New Zealand before. Mm-hmm. How's your time been this time? How's the experience?
It's been beautiful. I mean, there's, you know, that whole that concept of welcoming, being welcomed, I've really felt that, you know, and I think that's something that I really value about coming to New Zealand particularly, yeah.
Yeah, I think one of the things I love most about your music, and I guess your career in general, is people, whenever you ask them what their music taste is, they say eclectic, which most of the time is a lie, but with you, I feel like it's true, because, you know, the music you make is like an electronic leaning, but you also produce other things, and you play flamenco guitar, you play classical piano, but you started music, you liked punk and stuff like that too? I heard that somewhere.
I've been in lots of different types of bands. I mean, I was in a punk band, a funk band, I was in a Van Halen covers band at one point, so I used to shred a lot on the guitar, but I also, like you said, I played a lot of classical piano, a lot of jazz piano, lots of different styles. I mean, I was just fanatical about music growing up, so, but it became my language, and that was the thing, you know. That was a kind of, you know, very cool thing about it, just playing. I just enjoy being in lots of bands and collaborating with other musicians, which was very cool.
It's very groovy. Was there a first musical love for you, talking about that?
Was there, sorry?
A first musical love? Was there like a genre of music that really touched your heart first?
Piano. It was mainly piano, you know, which I loved. And also my mum and dad, they used to play a lot of Indian classical music in the house. They play Cuban music, flamenco, lots of different styles. So I guess I was kind of just into... I mean, my brothers played a lot of rock music, so I was listening to bands like Led Zeppelin and Pink Floyd. I mean, I never knew many years later that I'd actually end up in Pink Floyd as a member of the band, which was a crazy thing. You know, David Gilmour asked me to play with Pink Floyd, but I was a huge fan of them when I was young. So I was into lots of different styles, you know, and so on, which was cool.
One of the things I really love too is that you do a lot of video game work where you're creating soundscapes.
Yeah.
But that's also prevalent in your other music that isn't about video games too. You create this world. Is world building something that you think about all the time when you're making stuff?
Yeah, I mean, when you're doing film scores or if you're doing video games or whatever, you know, games like Enslaved and Heavenly Sword, that was very much about kind of working with the game designers to create music that was going to enhance the world that they were drawing you into. But it's the same thing with film scoring. You know, you're working with the vision of the director and also the producers. So it's kind of, I love that. I love that idea of building vocabularies and building a new language that's going to go with the feelings and the atmosphere and the narrative of a film.
There's a lot of call and response in your music, I feel, personally.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
I did want to talk about one of your older albums. It's been over 25 years since Beyond Skin.
Yeah.
And seeing you perform Broken Skin out there,
oh yeah, yeah,
was incredible.
Oh, that's nice.
Do you have reflections on that album in the over 25 years since release?
Most of my reflections on Beyond Skin were from my bedroom, because I did basically the whole album in my room. I mean, there were some tracks that I went over to other studios to record some things, but I mean, the strings and so on, that was recorded in my living room where that's I was incredible. At the time. So, you know, it was very much a kind of homemade album. I never really thought it would get the kind of attention that it did, but it was amazing, you know. And then we performed it a few years ago for its 20th anniversary at the Royal Albert Hall. That was the first time we performed the entire thing live, and that was incredible, you know. It was such a beautiful experience.
Despite it being over 25 years though, the themes of that album still even more potent or poignant today, which is incredible too.
I'm sad about that in some ways, because when I see what's going on in the world right now, I mean, the stupidity, the ignorance, and the fact that people are constantly demonizing others on the basis of them simply being vulnerable or simply having, you know, had difficult times to deal with, you know, particularly with immigrants or with asylum seekers and so on. But also, I kind of think, you know, people are being attacked constantly on the basis of their identity, you know, all over the world right now. There's a lot of rhetoric that I think is quite scary. Mm. So, you know, it's good to always counterbalance that and try to speak out against it.
Yeah, and I guess creating an album is creating a space for people to come to and feel like they're not crazy about those things too.
Yeah, I mean, with the Identity, the last album, I kind of invited lots of people to collaborate with me and make statements about their own identity with me, you know, which really worked out well.
Yeah, when you're creating an album, because a lot of your albums actually have a message to them at their core.
I mean, I guess it's interesting because I try not to send out messages. What I try to do is just say something that is authentic to what I feel. So in terms of like messages, sometimes I kind of think I don't want to preach to anyone or tell anyone how to think or how to be, but I will always say what I feel, and I feel passionately about lots of things, so it can maybe sometimes feel like messages, but it's really just me expressing my thoughts about the world and all kinds of things in the lyrics and the people I choose to work with.
Yeah, that's great, because I was going to ask if you start with a message or not, so hearing that it's just an expression of your feeling, like, yeah, man, that's the basis of music. It's lovely. You perform with an amazing band.
Yeah,
and I wanted to ask you about them. Who's in the band?
Well, I mean, I have a different band. So normally in the UK, I'll perform with Eos, who's on violin, and Eva, who normally sings instead of Ayama today. But Ayama amazingly stepped in, and she's a great... I mean, I've worked with her a few times before, and she's an amazing solo artist as well. They're all solo artists. I mean, Ashwin Srinivasan on bansuri, which is an Indian flute, bamboo flute. He's an amazing singer and writer, composer. and that he's from India, but also Shapla Salik, she's got her own stuff out, who's a brilliant singer, and then Arif has got loads of projects that he's always doing. So, you know, they're all really capable musicians in different ways, but I think what's really nice is to bring people together who get on and have a common spirit. And we've had such a nice time kind of just hanging out in Australia and New Zealand over the last couple of weeks. It's been really good.
That's special. I just want to ask you one more question, because you did an APRA song hub session or APRA session in Auckland before you came here.
Yeah.
You did a talk there. It feels like you've got a big emphasis on almost giving back to musicians now.
Very
much. Is that something that you're trying to do?
Yeah, I mean, when you get to a certain point in your life, you kind of, I mean, the thing is, for me, I've kind of done almost everything I wanted to do. You know, I've worked with incredible artists and people that I'm, you know, that it's been a real privilege, whether it's Paul McCartney or Sting or, you know, I mean, lots of different people that I've grown up admiring. So all of that has been incredible, and making a lot of film scores and doing all the things I wanted to do. But, you know, I try to, I was chair of the PRS Foundation, which is actually the leading charity for new talent, up and coming musical talent in the country, in the UK. And we actually kind of gave a lot of money to, for example, a lot of young artists who ended up being Mercury nominated. And it's really good, because the PRS Foundation finds really good artists to help, and a lot of them went on to do very well. People like Little Sims, or, you know, some great artists, the Ezra Collective, some really good, cool artists have been funded by the organisation that I was chair of, and I'm now the inaugural patron of. So it's great to work in that way, and to kind of work with charities. I'm about to do something called Future Talent as well, which is actually working with young musicians, teenage musicians who are great composers and brilliant artists. And I'm about to, I just did some work on an album for them. But also I'm going to be curating a live show at the Roundhouse in London. So, yeah, I mean, I'm really into, as you said, giving back, working with artists that I think are up and coming, and trying to help them get a foothold in an industry that's become increasingly difficult to penetrate over time. I mean, the music industry when I was younger was a lot more welcoming of new talent, and really did help out a lot of new talent. Now it's become a lot more difficult.
100%. Thank you so much for your time.
Cheers. Thank you. Nice one.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.